too, and we will read there in just a moment, just to review a little bit and try and, as along the way here, teaching on leadership. Of course, just a little bit of review. We've talked about leadership is obedience. For one to develop into leadership, we must be able to be obedient to the rule of authority over us. I used Joseph a couple weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago we started on this. He, as an example, of course, just to review, he came to a point in his life. Of course, his brothers hated him, and his dad wanted to go check on his brothers. Jacob asked him to go check on his brothers, and I believe that at that time, it would have been very difficult for any of us to have fulfilled that task. As far as if Joseph had listened to his own self, okay, and done what he wanted, he could have gone ahead and said, Dad, listen, you realize my brothers hate me, okay? Can't we get somebody else to do it? But the Bible was very clear. He says, Dad, I'll go, or here am I. That was his response. I'll go ahead and do it. You don't find anywhere in the Bible in Genesis 37 that he went ahead and argued with his dad or fussed at his dad. He went ahead and did that. And to me, that speaks volumes, because he was willing to lead himself, okay? I think his inner self would have said, nah, come on, you know. But I think his inner self would have said, Dad, come on now, let's not do this. But he was willing to go ahead and do that. Of course, leadership, obviously, you know, if you're going to go ahead and lead people, you got to lead yourself. Okay, for instance, let's just throw this in. First thing in the morning, okay, at 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, that we have that alarm clock sitting by your head on your, you know, on your dresser there. Okay, that thing goes off, beep, beep, beep. You know, the first thing that you think of is, let's shoot it. Amen? Okay, that's your flesh saying, let's shoot that thing. You know, I don't want to get up. But, you know, the spirit says, okay, you lazy sluggard, get up and let's go do something. Okay? And you've got to be obedient over yourself. You've got to be obedient over your flesh. So that's a sign of leadership. So we spoke highly on that the first week, that that a leader needs to be obedient to the rule of authority over him. As a pastor, I have rule of authority over me. I have God. I also have other preachers that I would consider even as a rule of authority over me. In many ways, I call my preacher at home when I have a question. I mean, it's good for me to go ahead and listen to advice of who have lived, of men that have lived a while and been in a position for a while. It'd be good for me to go ahead and ask for advice and to take advice in different things. But what I'm trying to say is, okay, as a child, okay, you want to become a leader. You know, I've had kids tell me, I used to work with teenagers and so forth, very much. Well, I want to be like so-and-so. They maybe go to some youth conference and they see a preacher get up and wax eloquent. Boy, Pastor Weeks, I'd love to be like that man there and so forth. But let me tell you something, that pastor paid a price to get there. That preacher paid a price to get there. So kids, if you want to go ahead and become like become like a great man of God or a great lady of God and so forth, there's a price to be paid. There's a lot of obedience, okay? There's a heap of overcoming your flesh and your desires to get to that point. So week one, we talked about obedience. Week two, we kind of talked on what leadership is, all right? Leadership is the ability to guide or direct. There are many leaders in this room tonight. I reminded us of that, okay? If we're a Christian first, if you're saved tonight, you're a Christian. Okay, so our lives ought to be leading other people to Christ, all right? If there's a parents here tonight, a pastor, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, bosses, supervisors, many of these roles are multiple roles for many of us, all right? Like, for instance, I'm a pastor, yet I'm a parent, and I'm a husband, all right? And I'm also a child still, okay? I have a mom and dad that's still alive, so, you know, I have certain responsibilities. So some children, okay, as a teenager here tonight, you're also a leader. If you are an older sibling, okay, if you're an older child and you have a young sister or a young brother, okay, very much how you treat your mom and dad and very much how you treat leadership over you will be how they will treat it. And generally, it's 10 times worse. Okay, if you want to go ahead and treat authority like dirt, okay, you want to treat your mom and dad like dirt. Generally, yours is your rebellion, if you will, is much milder than those that see it. okay, than that sister of yours or that brother of yours. Generally, yours is much milder, and theirs oftentimes becomes 10 times worse. So I'm talking about, there's a lot of leaders here tonight. If you're a child, you're an older sibling. If you're a child and you're here tonight and Jesus lives inside you, you're a Christian. You ought to live a kind of life that may lead others to Christ, that may lead others to wanting to be a Christian. Your testimony is very, very important. So our thought last week was, if we're going to be an effective leader, and if we're going to guide people, we must walk in the Spirit. Why? So we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, a good leader, a godly leader, is going to be Spirit-filled. By walking in the Spirit, we are better able to lead and guide those whom we lead to right, so that they may also do the same down the road. We as Christian leaders, we are responsible to reproducing ourselves. Okay? We are responsible to reproducing ourselves. Listen, if we went ahead and just decided to all become ungodly, you know what? You know what? We're done. Christianity is done. I mean, we need to go ahead and be looking down the road. And now, come 80 or 90, I mean, I'm not going to live forever. But the truth of the matter is, our children are going to live after us. The children of our church are going to live after us. So we as leaders now, we need to make it count now. Okay? We need to go ahead and live by example now so that they may see it, so that we can preserve and do our part to preserve America and do our part to maybe see a revival in America. Okay? And maybe if we do our part as leaders and Christian leaders now, then God might go ahead and spare our country a little bit longer. But the truth of the matter is, the way we're going, and I talked about it the first week, you know, we are lacking leaders. Okay, we are lacking good, solid, godly leaders. It seems like I hear it all the time of even good, solid churches one day that were holding the standard high, that were praying and that were soul winning, now have gone ahead and got a little more casual. They've taken the wooden pulpit and they've replaced it with a glass pulpit. Okay, they've gone ahead and they've seeped into their one-time independent Bible-believing fundamental Baptist church. They've snuck in the band up on the stage and all the fancy lights and different things. What I'm trying to say is, right now is when it counts for us as leaders. Right now, we need to go ahead and stand strong now. And if we stand strong now, then it might be that our kids that we are raising, that we have a part of, may see that. See our godly example, so that when they get older, they'll be able to go ahead and stand strong for their generation. Okay? Very, very important. We are in a need of leadership today. A desperate need of godly leadership. And this evening, I just want to talk a little bit about preparation for leadership in the time that I have. I don't think I'll be lengthy. Like I said, I've said it time and time again, if you saw my notes, you would be very encouraged. All right? It's one of them nights. But I didn't want to get too much in depth because I want to come to a stopping point. But we're going to go ahead and read a little bit here in just a moment in Exodus chapter 2. But Exodus 1 deals with the slavery and hard bondage of God's people, the children of Israel. Because they were becoming mightier than Egypt, a new king who knew not Joseph, the Bible says. All right, remember, Joseph was one guy I talked about. Had it not been for Joseph, and I believe his obedience to the will of God at 17, what if Joseph said no? What if he went ahead and rebelled against God? Where would Egypt have been for such a time when the plague came? Okay? There'd been destruction there, obviously. But God, you know, God had a plan for Joseph, and Joseph had to go through a whole heap of a lot to go ahead and get to the point of where he was, okay, and to become a mighty leader in Egypt. Now, here in Exodus 1, we see God's people, they're in slavery, they're in hard bondage, they're slaves, and they become mightier, if you will, they become mightier than Egypt, and a new king who knew not Joseph wanted to go ahead and destroy the seed of Israel. So, how was he going to do that? He made a law, of course, to kill the unborn males, or the baby boys, if you will. Okay, you know, let's stop here for a minute. You know, abortion was back then. Okay, you think about it. You know, here's the king Pharaoh. Pharaoh wanted to go ahead and kill the baby boys, okay? Abortion was back then. All right, the wickedness of abortion was back then just like it is now. And but anyways, that's just a talk about abortion. It's, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. And it's just getting much worse today. But God saw the affliction of his people, and God had a plan, and he was going to plan a way for the deliverance of his people. Now, in Exodus chapter 2, we're going to go ahead and read here just several verses, and then we'll just kind of go through probably a lot of this chapter this evening. There went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife to daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now, I'm going to use this a little bit. I kind of have to walk around because I... Testing? Hello? All right. Okay, sorry there. Sorry to wake you up, Brother Sean. All right. But I kind of move around a little bit. A lot of it's because I eat a lot and I need my exercise, and it's about the only exercise I get all day. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. I do walk around walk around the church once in a while, and I'm breathing hard when I get here. But anyway, I go around the church one time. You know what I mean? You know, Brother Joe says he goes to some gym somewhere, and I have yet. I'll stop. I'll stop. Anyways, but I got to be good. But anyways, but moving right along, here is a godly mom. Jochebed was her name. A baby boy was born. Of course, the law was to abort the boy, okay, the boys of the land. And here is a godly mom, Jochebed. And with all the love, okay, if you're a mom here tonight, I think you can relate to this story a little bit, but with all the love that a mom can give, she was fearful, I could imagine. When that little baby boy, Moses, was born, I believe she looked down just like any mom would look down at her child, at her son, or even at her baby daughter. And I would say, boy, this is a special child. God, I thank you for the child that you gave me. You can feel the love. Moms like to nurture. Moms like to love. And I can imagine at this time, having this baby boy, she was fearful. I can imagine that she wondered, man, what am I going to do with my baby boy? God wants to use this boy. I want to give this child, this man child, back to God. And God wants to use this boy. And I can just imagine the fear that mom had here. And she was probably concerned about the army of Pharaoh coming to the door and checking and maybe scouring her house for any baby boys that may be in the house, and as it was the law of the land to go ahead and kill him. I can imagine how she was feeling. Mom, imagine how you'd feel in this situation. You love and you nurture and you desire your boy to be used of God as Jochebed did. You don't want anything happen to your child. You don't want evil to happen to your children. But here's Jochebed. What does she do? I can see Jochebed night after night and day after day trying to keep her little child. You know, of course, little babies, what do? They cry. Okay, and could you just picture with me, if you will, this godly mother? I believe she was very godly, one who loved God. She was maybe praying every night, oh God, please protect my child. And maybe as she was praying throughout the night, the armies would be, the soldiers would be walking up and down the streets, listening maybe for any babies that were born to check and see if they were male or female. And here's Jochebed night after night. And as soon as the baby would stir in its little cradle, maybe make a little bit of noise, maybe start crying, she'd run to him and maybe sit in her rocking chair and hold him close and don't cry. And I could see Jochebed's tears coming down. I might be reading into this, but I imagine as a mom, you think about how you would act. You think about how if you were in them shoes, tears coming down, and the law of the land was to go ahead and kill your son. I know as a dad, I mean, boy, I want to do everything I can to go ahead and get my children together and protect them. And I don't want the evil law to go ahead and get my child and have him killed. And I can just imagine Jochebed praying, God, please, I want to give my child back to you. I'm concerned. Shh, baby, shh, shh, shh. You know, I can see her feeding him and rocking him to sleep and trying to make sure that he's quiet. I think I could see that tonight. A godly mom, so desiring. And let me just stop and say this. Here's a mom. You know, if you're a mom, if you are what they call, what the society calls stay-at-home mom tonight, you've got a big job on your hands. And if you are one of them moms, and don't misunderstand me, I know that there's situations that you have to work and so forth, but let me tell you something. Don't you let the world go ahead and make fun of the position you're in. You know, the world will go ahead and laugh at that. The world will go ahead and say, you know, oh, you're a stay. Oh, what an easy job. Oh, no, it's not.
Hey, Dad, go ahead and you try it. I tell you one thing, boy. I'll admit, boy, oftentimes I was glad to go to work, amen. Don't misunderstand me. But the truth of the matter is, boy, I don't believe there's any greater title than mother. I mean that. And here was Jochebed. I could see Jochebed trying to preserve life here. I could see Jochebed trying, God, I don't want my baby boy to be killed. I don't want Pharaoh to find my baby boy. I believe you're going to use him mightily, God, and I don't want my baby boy to be killed. And I can see him, her rocking him back and forth and quiet, trying to keep him quiet. There came a point, the Bible says, that was hard for to hide the little baby. So the Bible says, of course, in verse 3, very familiar story, I know. But when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with pitch, with slime and with pitch. Put the child therein. She laid it in the flags by the river brink. I'm not fully sure, but she went ahead and put that child in a, like a floating, something that floats, course, and went down. And perhaps for just a little while each day, I'm not quite sure here, but for a little while each day. And I think the flags, if I have read this right, are like little plants that come up. And she goes down there to try to maybe keep him there, kind of hidden and so forth. She was concerned and she wanted to, of course, hide her child. But the Bible says, as we read on, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, verse 5, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Now imagine this, Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter. Here was mom, already a concerned, fearful mom, wanting her best for her son, doing everything she could to protect her son. She couldn't no longer hide him at home, and it was getting too much, but she said, she just didn't know what to do, and made this ark and put him down there amongst the flags of the river's edge. And the daughter comes down of Pharaoh and sees the ark over there and sends her maid to go get it. I can imagine the fear all of a sudden. Oh no. Oh no. A little boy. And she went and hid herself, perhaps, because obviously she wasn't seen at this time, but and the maid went to go fetch it. Of course, even God worked in this Pharaoh's daughter's heart. Think about it. I don't think there's a woman alive that can't go ahead and look at a baby and say, oh, and get all, emotional and excited. I have to tell this story. When I was first married, when we first got married, I should say, we married young, okay? We admit that. I was 20 and my wife was 18. We married young, but we love each other dearly. I got the greatest wife in all the world. But I remember when we went off to Bible college that first year of our marriage, we developed a friendship with a couple in school there. And they're a young married couple as well. And then she got pregnant, and she had a child. And my wife and I thought, well, we'll wait and wait a few years and so forth. We kind of had a timetable, okay? I mean, it was like 3 or 4 years. Had kind of a timetable. Now, we've only been married months. But her friend had a baby, okay? Her friend had a baby. And I can imagine, okay, just as Jochebed felt, and Pharaoh's daughter, when she first saw the baby child, when my wife saw that little baby boy, I think it was a boy that they had at that time, all of a sudden it just, honey, I want a baby, She didn't quite say it like that. Now someone's going to go ahead and say, how's that go again? Anyways, I know. But the truth of the matter is, I don't think that soft face of a baby child, of a baby, that soft skin, the little smile and all that goes along with it and so forth, that just captures the heart of a gal, of a lady. And I think probably this is what happened to Pharaoh's daughter, Boy, you know, we got to take this to Dad. Dad's got this law that all the baby boys are to be killed. But I can imagine that, of course, her being in line to Dad and her going to Dad. Oh, come on, Dad. Of course, the Bible teaches there. But come on, Dad. We're going to raise him and so forth. And obviously, this baby boy, Moses, was not killed, as the story goes. But the hand of God was there. And just think for a moment, Jochebed being concerned, Jochebed being upset, Jochebed being fearful. What's going to happen to my child now, the baby boy that I want God to use greatly, the baby boy that I wanted to preserve and nurture and love. Now it's in the house of Pharaoh. And what are they going to do to him? Of course, the Bible says that Jochebed wound up taking care of the child under Pharaoh. Now, let me just stop and say this again. You mothers, your leadership role is so very important. You know, parents, dads as well, obviously, but you mothers, don't ever let anybody, don't let the world take light of your role. Don't let them go ahead and again, if you're a stay-at-home mom, don't let them take light of that. You know, Jochebed, I can see the fear. But obviously she had a big part in raising little Moses. You know, in preparing leaders, that's just a story tonight. I'll read on a little bit. And when she had opened it, let's go on now tonight. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me. I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Talking about Jochebed, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. He became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, a very familiar story, but we'll read on here a little bit. When he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me, and thou killedst the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. And when Moses heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water and their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is he that ye have left a man? Call him that he may eat bread. Now listen, here is the preparation of a leader right here. This chapter right here is preparing a little baby boy, and how God had gone ahead and preserved life through a godly mother. And also used a very household that made a wicked law to go ahead and raise him up. And you can see the hand of God in all of this. Let me stop and say this. You know, it is so very important as leaders, okay? So very important as leaders, as we go ahead and we lead our children, okay? A parent, a Sunday school teacher, deacon or a pastor, truth of the matter is, as we go ahead and lead, we need to go ahead and I talked about last week, we need to be obedient to God. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, and also be spirit-filled so that we may go ahead and instill that in those that are following us. Okay, and I believe all this was happening in Moses through his mom. Moses' mom was a very godly, I believe, a very obedient to God type of woman, a spirit-filled lady that went ahead and instilled in her child and a love of God. And now here is Moses. He is being prepped for a big job, which we'll get into next week. But he is being prepped and being prepared for a big job. Now, let me just say this, just a few thoughts, and I'm landing this thing because of a meeting coming up in just a few minutes. But in preparing leaders, we need leaders to obey and follow God's will and not submit to our will. Okay, we need, okay, I'm talking about in preparation for leaders, okay, and we have several leaders in this room tonight, and we have multiple positions, okay, as leaders tonight. We have, as a pastor, I'm a dad. As a pastor, I'm not just a pastor and a dad, I'm a husband. We have multiple roles. Now, if we're going to go ahead and lead, we need to obey and follow God's will and not submit to our will. We need to be consistent and not quit in the face of opposition. What if, okay, listen to me, what if Jochebed went ahead and said, this is just too much. This is just too much. I don't see a mom doing this, a godly mom doing this. But, you know, I can imagine the fear day in and day out that she had trying to raise her child and trying to keep him quiet so that the wicked army doesn't go ahead and kill him. I can see that. But what if Jochebed went ahead and quit? God's plan would have been washed. Okay, but Jochebed, you know what? She didn't go ahead and quit. And let me tell you something: as a leader, when things don't always go your way, when maybe your child rebels, when maybe your child, when your child as a parent, when your child rebels, that's not a time for you to go ahead and quit parenting. Okay, that is a time for us to even step up even more. That is also a time for us to go ahead and maybe soak into that word more and pray even more so that we can go ahead and give that rebellious child what they need. Okay, it's no time for us to go ahead and quit. We need to, as a leader, obey and follow God's will and not submit to our will. And when the face of opposition comes as a leader, it's not time for us to back down. It's not time for us to go ahead and say, well, you know what, past weeks, my Sunday school class, you know, the kids are rowdy and this and that and so forth. You know, there's no time for you to quit. Boy, you know what, you just need to go ahead and love on them even more, and you need to go ahead and do whatever you can to reach their heart even more, and don't you go ahead and quit because things don't quite seem to go your way. Jochebed, because of her love and because of her devotion to her God, she said, I'm going to go ahead and raise my child, and when she thought that opportunity was gone, she still had that opportunity to go ahead and raise her child, and she raised that child to love God. All right, so we need to obey and follow God's will and not submit to our will in the face of opposition. Now, number two, we need leaders to believe in those that they are leading. Okay. And I touched on this a little bit last week, I know, but if I came and stood behind this pulpit and I was always, well, everything's okay, you know. It's raining out today. Yeah, we're just getting by. You know what? We wouldn't be a whole cheerful bunch by the end of the hour. You know what I mean? You know, what I'm trying to get at is I believe in those who I'm leading. Okay, I believe in you. And it, as a leader and as a pastor, if I came out and said, well, everything's breaking loose in the world. Everything's terrible. Man, the sun hasn't shined in 5 days, and this and that, and everything's going on. If I went ahead and go ahead and told you everything's wrong, man, this is falling apart. The church bus tire's flat. I don't know if we can keep on going. You know what? We're not going to go very far. We're not going to go very far. Now, what I'm saying is leaders need to believe in those who are leading. I believe in our church here. I believe in you. You know, and I've said it before, I believe in you so much that I want to do everything I can to love on you and counsel you and advise you and give you everything that God gives me to try to convey it to you the best I can. Why? So you can go out and make it. I believe in you. And you know what? As other leaders, as a Sunday school teacher, as a bus captain, as a youth leader, as a parent, we need to look at the opportunities, which are those that are following us, and believe in them. We need to simply believe in them. Believe that your child can go ahead and make it to the next grade. My child's just not smart enough. Well, yeah, they're not going to make it to the next grade then. I mean, you got to believe in them. You need to help them. You need to lead them to try to get to the next grade. Believe that your Sunday school class can grow in the Lord. Challenge your Sunday school class. I mean, go in there and challenge them to read their Bible. Go in there and challenge them to pray. And I found it helpful as a leader of young people that I wanted to go ahead and challenge them to walk with God and do everything I could. And I went ahead and made, just on the computer, I made a little chart where they could go ahead and walk with God and have a prayer time and have them check it off just so that they can be accountable to something. You know, young people, teenagers will not go ahead and do things unless if they have some of the tools to do it. They just won't. Okay, young people, I find, even we ourselves, okay, I myself, I have, of course, I read the Bible several different times in different ways, but I have to make sure that I read through the Bible this year. I have a Bible reading schedule that I go by every year. Okay, our church put it out every year, and I think it'd be handy for me to get the program and do the same thing for our church. But you know what? I think it's important to go ahead and read through the Bible through the year. I do. I think it's a great challenge. I think it's a great opportunity. And the truth of the matter is, but for me to do that, I need some sort of plan. And I believe that if a teenager is going to go ahead and do the same thing, I, as a leader, need to do everything I can to go ahead and provide for them the tools to go ahead and help them reach that goal. Okay, if we're going to do some things here at Faith Baptist Church and different things, you know what, I'm not going to be able to just get up and spout off and say, okay, let's do this. I believe it's my responsibility. I need to do everything I can and try to be as clear as I can to try to give you as leaders the tools to go ahead and help us make what we want to do here and do what we want to do. Okay, that's leadership. Boy, take the opportunity you have. I believe Jochebed believed that her boy was something special. I believe that she knew one day God was going to God was going to use her boy greatly. And let me tell you something. We ought to walk into that class and say, "Boy, I believe that you're special, and God wants to use you." And you know what? Oftentimes with kids, you have to keep telling them that. Oftentimes with kids, you have to every week you say, "Boy, I believe in you. God wants to go." And by the way, you know what? Especially the younger kids. Some that come in from the buses and different scenarios of life, they need to know that a leader, that someone loves them and believes in them. They need that. They need to know. I mean, I hope, you know, the very best I know, and I try to convey it, I hope that you know I believe in you. As your pastor, I hope you know that. I want my children and my home to know I believe in you. And with God's help and with my help, you know, I believe you can go ahead and do some great things for God. I believe tonight we could have some future pastors in this room. I do. I believe in that. I believe that 100%. If you would go ahead and open your heart and submit your heart to God and allow God to go ahead and work in you, I believe there's some future pastors in here. You say, "Well, Pastor Weiss, you can't be talking about my son." Well, I might be. And that very kind of attitude could be the very thing that squelches them from going ahead and doing that. I believe there could be some missionaries' wives or some great men and women for God here tonight, some future leaders here tonight. Jochebed believed in her boy. She believed that he was going to be used greatly by God. I believe she instilled that in her boy, and raising him, she encouraged him. And leaders tonight, we need to believe in our followers, encourage them to climb to bigger heights. As I mentioned before, we need to challenge them. You know, we just need to go ahead and challenge them. And a leader desires those who follow us to make it. Of course, I say that often, but you know, it's true. I just want people to make it. Bottom line. I know you hear that often, but the truth of the matter is, I just want people to make it. You know, I know so many people today are having a hard time. So many people, and they're having a difficult time. But you know, the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, I want to do everything. I just had a person I counseled with just the other day, just having a difficult time. I prayed with him at the end of the session. And I said, "Bottom line, I just want you to make it." Put my hands and thank you, Pastor. You know, you ought to desire your pupils in your class. I want you to make it. You know what? You could be teaching the next Jack Hiles. You could be. You say, "Who's Jack Hiles?" He's a great preacher, okay? You could be teaching the next D.L. Moody. You could be teaching the next pastor's wife. But you need to go ahead and believe in that. You need to believe that that could happen. I believe everyone here can be used greatly of God. Who am I to go ahead and just tell people that they can't do great things for God when His Word, very simply, His Word says we can do all things through Christ? Who am I to go ahead and say, you know what, I don't know, you know, you, I don't think it could be, you know what, who am I to go ahead and say that when the Bible says we can do all things through Christ? Now, I don't want to, you know, I told God, I don't want to limit anybody's progress. Now, I don't want to be a stumbling block for somebody else. I hope, if anything, that I can be someone that if anything, a cheerleader, say, let's go. Come on. Let's grow that class. Let's build that church. Let's build that bus route. Let's, you know, I hope, if anything, I can be an encourager, say, let's go. Let's go ahead and go forward. What we need, that's a lot of what a leadership responsibility is someone who says, let's go. Let's do it. Let's do it. Hey, kids, hey, you know what? We're going to do it. Hey, let's go ahead and read our Bible. Let's go ahead and read this chapter this week. Let's make sure that we read this chapter this week. And if you come back and you read this chapter in the Bible this week, hey, I'll have a piece of candy. I'll have a candy bar for you. Hey, you know what? Let's go ahead and believe in our people that follow us. So very important. We as leaders need to do our part to prepare leaders by our example, by our obedience, so that we can reproduce ourselves. If America is going to be salvaged, it's going to be men and women of God now, living by example, leading by example, so that they may, the ones that they lead, will one day go ahead and carry on the same kind of work you're doing. If America's going to be salvaged, you say, what, America's not going to, yeah, but America's in trouble. It is in trouble spiritually. It doesn't take long to go ahead and figure it out. America is in trouble spiritually. But I do believe, as the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I believe that very much. And I believe, you know, that if we go ahead and do our part now in instilling in the lives of our followers now, and they have it in their hearts so that when we die one day, we don't want to do it tomorrow, obviously, but when we pass off the scene, that one day they're taking what we have taught them to another generation. That's what's going to go ahead and help keep this nation secure. That might be just what may spare, you know, keep God from judging this nation anymore. Yeah, I believe that 100%. We just need some leaders that will just stand up and reproduce ourselves. Now let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we do love you and we thank you for tonight. We thank you for Moses, and we thank you also for Jochebed, a godly mom, whom I believe had all the traits of a regular mom. Loved her boy, believed in her boy, was fearful of the surroundings, but so wanted her boy to be used. I pray, dear God, that we, maybe as mothers and as fathers and as teachers, as deacons, as pastors, all of us will do our part in reproducing ourselves. Not just somebody, but a godly self, someone that reads the book, someone that stands true to the book, someone that has some standards and wants to go ahead and instill the Bible in the lives of followers, so that one day the followers that we have may go ahead and do the same. I pray, dear God, we need leaders. We need them desperately. And we need them here in our church. If we're going to grow, we're going to need some leaders just to step up to the plate and decide, hey, I'll do this. I can do this. I pray, God, that you'd help us to be the kind of leader that you'd want us to be. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Shall we stand?